Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, in our verse-by-verse exposition through 1 Timothy, we have come in chapter 2 to verses 9 and 10 that deal with a woman's preparation for public worship. And we have spent quite a few broadcasts on that subject, and let me simply read the two verses and give you a quick summary, and then we're going to move on to the next section, which is the woman's participation in public worship. But this first is her preparation for public worship, and it says, in like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair, or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. So, it tells us what a woman's appearance should be, and in short, it should be not too modern, not too old, not too plain, not too fancy, not too revealing, not too bright, not too much or too many, not too strong, in short, nothing which attracts undue attention to oneself, that attracts undue attention to external appearance. Not ostentatious, no desire to impress, but simply to draw attention to God. That's really it, to God. Chrysostom, the golden-mouthed orator, pastor of Antioch in Syria, had something to say on this text, and I'm quoting it as I found it in Eugene Stock's commentary in the Pastoral Epistles. And he says, and I quote, "What then is modest apparel?" Such, by the way, this goes back to about AD 400. So some things never change. So here's what he said, and I quote again, "What then is modest apparel? Such as covers them completely and decently, and not with superfluous ornaments. What, do you approach God to pray with broidered hair and ornaments of gold? Are you come to a ball, to a marriage feast, to a carnival? This is the attire of actors and dancers who live upon the stage. Nothing of this kind becomes a modest woman." So, that's what he said, and I don't have the original in front of me. I'm sure there would be some other interesting things as well. Now, we leave that subject behind and we move on to a woman's participation in public worship. And her participation is, first of all, the participation of active service. It says in verse 10, "But what is proper, which is proper, rather, for women professing godliness with good works." Not adorned with the things that were described in verse 9, but adorned with good works. Which, of course, is a symbolic way of saying that she is actively engaged in good works. Now, Paul doesn't spell out here what the good works may be, but we can certainly fill in the blanks. If she is a married woman with a family, then she is to be actively engaged in the good works of ministering as wife and mother in her home to her family. And beyond that, there are many other things that are not only appropriate, but greatly honoring to the Lord. We remember Tabitha, also known as Dorcas in Acts chapter 9, who sewed garments for the poor widows and was highly commended by Peter and therefore by God for such active service, such good works in the name of Christ. Of course, we've all studied, I'm sure, the passage in Proverbs 31 of that virtuous woman, and the many things she did, the many good works she did that had to do with ministering to her family, but also ministering to the needy. She was involved in commerce. She was involved in industry, in manufacturing, in real estate. Really, read that passage carefully and you'll find that this woman who is praised, highly praised by God, was a very active woman who was involved in many things. The biblical ideal is not for women to be wallflowers. It's not for women to be seen and not heard. It's not for women to only be active in the kitchen and in the backyard with their children and their husband and family. That's not the biblical ideal, though that's where a woman's first priority needs to be, and she needs to make sure that she has taken care of her domestic responsibilities before she moves on to other things. But the ideal woman in Proverbs 31 is one that is very much involved in commercial and community activities. And of course, there are many areas of church work that are very much in need of the active participation of godly women. Where would churches be without godly women? Some of them would have virtually nothing being done at all. And so a woman prepares herself to worship God by serving Christ and others throughout the week. That's the way a woman participates in worship, by coming to worship, having already involved herself in the lives of many people. And now she comes to worship God, and some of the people that she's ministered to are gathered there with her to worship God in the same assembly of the saints. So there is the participation of active service. There's secondly the participation of eager learning. Verse 11, let a woman learn. Let a woman learn in silence with all submission. Now that's a statement that is more significant than many people realize. But this says that a woman should attend the public meetings of the church with the same learning privileges as men. When a woman faithfully attends church, when she gathers with the saints, she has the same privileges of learning the Word of God that the men do. Now, in our day and time, it seems like that statement is so old-fashioned and outmoded that nobody would even think to make it. Why wouldn't she be allowed to come to church to the same public meetings, the same place where God's Word is taught as the men? Why would anyone even bother to say that she has the privilege of coming? Of course she does. We expect that she does. We would never even consider that she might not. But, of course, in Paul's day, in a number of religions, women did not have those privileges. Many of the Greek and Roman religions, women did not have those privileges. In the Jewish religion, remember that in the Jewish temple, the women could not come past the court of the women. They couldn't come to the same location where the men worshipped. When you went to the temple to worship, it's pretty much segregated things. And the women were left standing in the court of the women, and the men advanced on further. Gentiles were left even outside where the women, the Jewish women, could come. And everybody was segregated. And only the men were able to participate fully in the worship of God at the temple, but not so in the New Testament church. Women have the same privileges of full participation in public worship, worshiping God, hearing God's word, lifting their voices in praise to God, lifting their hearts in prayer to God. They have the same privileges of public worship as do the men. And they have the privilege of learning. Let a woman learn. To learn eagerly. She needs to know the Word of God. She needs the Word's sanctifying influence in her life. She needs the Word's directing influence for herself and for her family, for her life and for her activities. She needs to know the Word of God for her areas of ministry. Whatever they may be in her particular case, she needs to learn the Word of God just like her husband, just like her sons, just like her father, just like the men in the church. The woman is invited and, yes, instructed to come and to learn. By the way, this tells us that one of the primary reasons for the assembly of the saints is to learn. And again, for most people, that is assumed because most of us have participated in churches where the preaching and teaching of God's Word is pretty much the predominant central feature of the public worship service. But it has not always been so, and in some of the changes that are taking place in the more modern expressions of Christianity, that is being diminished and set aside, as if there are other things that are more important. And we have people today who are advocating that it's more important that we give ourselves to ceremony, to various kinds of liturgy, that who's to say that the preaching, the sermon, is to be the central feature of our worship services. God says so, and this little verse that is instructing the woman's participation in worship is a powerful verse to remind us that this is exactly the central part of our church meeting, namely the sermon, the preaching of God's Word. How so? Let a woman learn. Now, it does go on to say, let a woman learn in silence with all subjection. That's a controversial part of that text that we'll have to take up on the broadcast, Lord willing, tomorrow. But for now, let us please notice this statement almost in passing, but how significant, how profound it is when you stop long enough to think about it. A woman goes to church to learn just like a man goes to church to learn. In other words, to hear the Word of God explained and applied. That's why we go to church. Is that the whole reason why we go to church? No. We go to fellowship with the saints, to encourage and strengthen one another. There's very valuable interaction of fellowship with the saints. We go to lift our voices in praise to God, which, by the way, in itself should be a learning activity, teaching one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. The songs we sing are for the purpose of instructing the saints of God. Again, something that is often overlooked. But we go to sing. We go to pray. We go to give. That is, offerings, to worship the Lord with our gifts. We go to fellowship with other believers. I've already mentioned that. But supremely, above it all, we go to be instructed. We go to hear the Word of God explained and applied. And this little text reinforces that concept, that idea of public worship. Let a woman learn. He's talking about public worship in this whole chapter. Let a woman participate fully in public worship. Let her come and learn. Let her be taught, just like the men. So, teaching is a central feature of our gathering together. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.